Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
In Geneva, there was a woman named Amy Rowan, and she went to extreme lengths to find her 22-month-old yellow Labrador retriever when it went missing. Now, you might be thinking extreme lengths, like what would this be, that she just waited it out for a long time or that she, you know, went looking for it or reported it to the police? Like, what is extreme lengths? And so according to a news article from Geneva, over the period of 2 months, Amy, in search of her dog Marnie, crawled through sewer pipes, climbed up deer stands, walked across fields that were actually marked as gun ranges. Can you imagine, like, where's my dog? This is a gun range. I'm just going to walk across because maybe my dog is on the gun range, right? Like, this is crazy stuff, but that's not even the end of it. She searched from an airplane. She hired pro trackers to try to track down her animal. She involved the Coast Guard. She involved police. She involved school bus drivers, mail carriers, veterinarians, rail workers, and more. She arranged major search parties that went out in a grid pattern to look for this dog that she had lost. She put on a mass phone call campaign. And so all of a sudden you'd get a phone call out of nowhere and go, hey, I lost my dog. It looks like this. It has a radio tracker. Have you seen it? She actually put flyers all over the place, just a massive radius. And more than that, she also put out a $10,000 reward for the return of her dog. And this isn't a rich lady. She had to dig from her savings to come up with this $10,000, but nothing was going to stand in her way of trying to find her dog and bring it back home. Consider for a moment, at what point would you go to these great lengths? Would you stop at nothing to find something, to bring someone or something home? Like, would you do that for your dog? I know for me, I'd be like, well, my dog's either coming back or it's not, but around here, it's a small dog. It's probably gone by now. Like, it's done. Cougar found it, something, wolf found it, it's gone. Maybe, you know, if you've got a child or a grandchild or a close family member, you're thinking right now, you're going, yeah, I would stop at nothing to bring them home if they were missing. An estranged child, I would stop at nothing to bring them home. Or maybe it's something simpler. You know, maybe you lost your credit. If you lost your credit card, you would stop at nothing. You just turn apart your house, right? Like, where's my credit card? Searching everything. Or actually nowadays, your phone, right? You know, going everywhere, going crazy. Where is my phone? My entire life is on this device. And you go even crazier if the tracking software on your phone stops working when it's missing. You know, the battery dies. Now you don't have a clue where it is. You're going to turn everything upside down because you need your phone. Whatever it is, how far would you be willing to go to bring that thing back home to find that lost thing? Just as the woman pulled out all the stops for her dogs and us, for a child or a credit card or a phone, God has pulled out all the stops to bring his lost children home. In fact, he was willing to pay the ultimate expense. Nothing was too great, and so God sent his only begotten son into the world to pay with his life to bring lost humanity back to himself. What a marvelous thing. The Father did whatever was necessary to bring back to himself, to save his lost children. He went all out to redeem us and to bring us back to him. We're told in John 3:16, which most of us know off by heart, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Eternal life. Life now, where our heart springs to life, but also life for the future beyond this mortal being. This is just a marvelous thing to really think about. Think of the lengths that God went to. See, God created a beautiful world. He created this world. He created humanity, and he said, it's very good. And we were designed to be in this relationship with him. We were his creation. We were his children. And then humanity went and messed it all up, didn't we? Now we look out in the world and we see things broken. We deal with disease and pain and sickness and death, heartache. And we wonder what's going on, and what's going on is the curse of sin and death in our lives. We are separated from God. Humanity was lost. It went astray. And in fact, we're told that we became enemies of God as we gave in to God's enemy, Satan, and truly actually began to follow him as we followed ourselves. But God never gave up on us, instead gave us his Son. Jesus, as we talked about during communion, he came for us. He lived for us. He humbled himself. Though he was in the form of God, he did not consider equality with God something to hold on to, but he gave it up and humbled himself as he was born of a virgin and lived as one of us, a sinless life. And as a wholly innocent person, died in the worst way possible, a criminal's death on a cross. And in that moment, took upon himself everything that separated us from God, all the pain, all the suffering, all the consequences of us being far from God and rejecting him and doing what does not please God and what we were not made to do. It all came upon him in that moment as he died on the cross. 3 days later, he rose again, victorious over it all. Because of him, there is hope of life, salvation. Because of him, we are adopted as sons and daughters of God when we accept this gift. We're brought home. We're brought home. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you've accepted that message, you should have the desire to go out and be a part of what God is doing in the world. You were lost, but now you're found. And now that you're found, you look out in the world and you catch a hold of the heart of God. And you think, I need to be a part of what God is doing. After all, God went all out for us. Why shouldn't we go all out for him? He gave everything for us. Everything. Beyond our ability to actually comprehend, he did the impossible to bring us home. See, out of our love for God and our love for the well-being of our family and our neighbors, we should feel compelled to share this message that I just reminded us all of with the world. We should feel compelled to it. See, I believe that every believer has been given a mission by God to advance his kingdom and bring home his lost children. Advance his kingdom. See, once we were citizens of another kingdom, citizens of this world, but when we follow Jesus, we're citizens of the great kingdom, God's kingdom. And we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the creator of heaven and earth, the one true God Almighty. And so sometimes, yes, people might come in here and they'll look around, especially if they're from the United States, and they'll go, "You don't have a flag in here. You don't have a Canadian flag. Aren't you patriotic? Don't you care about your nation?" And my answer is, yes, I care about my nation, but you have to understand that here in this place, we serve something greater than a flag with a maple leaf. We're not here to preach about a society that is run by a prime minister, but we're here to preach about a greater kingdom, which is run by God. And so to me, I won't have a Canadian flag here, because we're not here to worship a prime minister. We're here to worship God. Now, I'm not judging places that do, because some places will put the flag there and it's as a reminder that we need to be praying for our nation. And we do that. We're citizens of here in body, but in spirit, we're citizens of something so much greater. And we need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our nation. But at the end of the day, we are part of a greater kingdom, a kingdom that is here but also not yet in its fullness, which we are called to be a part of and to go out and help grow, to share the news of this kingdom, to share the love and community and hope and peace that there is within this community, within this kingdom. Furthermore, we're tasked with bringing home God's lost children. Imagine that you and a sibling were lost, and you made your way home. You found your father. And then you found out that your sibling was still out there. Would you just sit at home and be like, "Well, I got home, they can too? Or would something in you drive you to be a part of the mission that your parents have to go and bring your sibling home? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just ask today that you will open our hearts and our minds to what it is that you have to say to us as we conclude this series called We Are the Church, God. Put that reality in our hearts and birth something within us today. Change us, renew us, and challenge us, I ask, Lord God. Lord, help us not to sit back complacently or apathetically, Lord, thinking, well, somebody else is going to do it. But Lord, help us to pray like it all depends on you, but also to put in the work like it depends on us. Because we go in your strength and your power and your ability. God, I ask that you'll take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and that you'll make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to be looking at a book of the Bible that many people read and get very confused in. That book of the Bible is Romans. It's a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome. It's in the Bible here, and you can feel free if you have a paper copy of the Bible to read along in that. If you like to take notes and have a digital device with you that's internet connected, you can go to your browser and type in ascc.life and tap on the message notes tile and follow along there. Or if you just prefer to look on the screen behind me, you can do that. It's all going to be there. We're looking at actually one of the more simple parts of Romans today. Romans is so filled with deep insight about God and our relationship to him. And some things in it are so clear, and other things in it, you can get two people that read the exact same thing and they start arguing about things, but those are secondary things. In this church, I believe there are secondary things and that there are primary things. The primary thing is who is Jesus? What did he do for you? And how do you respond to him? Secondary things are, what kind of music do you like? Did God choose you or did you choose God? How active is the Holy Spirit in our lives? These are secondary things. And so that's why in this church we can pray for other churches every Sunday, is because when it comes to the primary things, we look at them and we're like, you know what, God? They have the same mission that we do. They've received the same gospel that we do. And whether or not they believe the same periphery things, secondary things that we do, at the end of the day, it's all about advancing your kingdom and bringing home your lost children. Who is Jesus? What did he do for you? And what is our response to him? That's primary. And so here today, we're going to look at something that's simple, that I believe is primary, but it's something that's so simple that we overlook it. That we overlook it. And so Romans 10, verse 13 is where we're going to be reading today. If you want to turn there in your Bibles with me, this is so exciting to me. It's the Apostle Paul talking about the Gentiles, the non-Jews, and the Jews. And he's talking to them and he's saying, listen, we all have received the same salvation. We all have received the same gift from Jesus of life and redemption and wholeness. We've received the same thing. There's no tiered thing. Oh, you're a Jew, you're special, and you're a Gentile, you're not. But because of Jesus' death, the whole world is able to come to Jesus. There's no more Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female when it comes to hierarchy. But all are made even because we all have the same access to God the Father through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in us. So this is what Paul says. He says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. And we read this and we say, Pastor Stephen, we don't need a message on this because this is simple. He says right there what he means. It's all just obvious. If people just call on Jesus and they accept and believe the gospel, then everything's going to be okay. And yet, let me reiterate, every believer has been given a mission by God to advance his kingdom and bring home his lost children. See, Paul here, he gives actually four steps of salvation. You may not have read it that way, and if you didn't, I don't blame you because he gives it backwards. He gives the steps of salvation backwards. And so we're going to look at them kind of in the order that he gave them today, starting with number four. And he says that everyone who calls on Jesus will be saved. What a truth. Wherever you're at, if you're a murderer in prison, if you call genuinely on the name of Jesus, you're going to be saved. If you've had the roughest life imaginable, you call on Jesus, you're going to be saved. If you think that you're just living a great life, guess what? If you call on Jesus, you'll be saved. And we love that. You know, we just sit there and we're like, yes, Jesus, just help people to call on your name out in this community. If only more people would just call on the name of Jesus, everything would be okay. And so we read this passage and we're like, this is great for me. I called on the name of Jesus. Jesus, I hope that these people will get their act together and call on your name too. We like to separate ourselves from it. But then Paul, he points out, he's like, listen, yeah, everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved, but they must believe the message of the gospel. That message of the gospel that we talked about there, what Jesus did for us, how we were far from God and he enabled us to come close to him, not through anything that we do, but through his work on the cross. We must believe the message of the gospel in order to call. See, I think there's a lot of people that will come to revival meetings, you know, tent meetings, things like that, and they'll call on the name of Jesus, but they don't actually believe the gospel. And so they just sit there and they're like, yeah, you know what? You talk a good talk and this stuff sounds good. And hell sounds like a bad place. So let's get myself some fire insurance here. I'm going to call on the name of Jesus and be saved. But they don't believe it. And so we turn from this. We're like, yeah, no, the gospel, yeah, they need to believe the message of the gospel. Lord, just help the gospel to go out into Pincher Creek and into the world and impact people's lives so that they can call on the name of Jesus. And we all get hyped up and we think, man, oh man, we're doing our part. We're here in church and we're just saying, God, do something out there. And then Paul carries on. They must hear the message from somewhere. No problem. We have a pastor. We live stream services. We have a kickoff Sunday that people are magically going to see our advertising for and all just rush to come to because free pancakes and sausage, who would give that up? There's Bibles in a hotel from the Gideons. Fewer and fewer of those, by the way. So people are going to hear the message, and then they're going to believe it, and then they're going to call on the Lord. And so everything is good. This just needs to happen. We need missionaries. We need more pastors. We need people to go out there. And Paul carries the logic forward. He's like, okay, so someone needs to hear the message in order to believe the message, and they need to believe the message in order to call on Jesus as a result of the message. But guess what? How do they hear it? Someone needs to share the message, he says. See, we can get really tempted here to be like, yeah, people need to go and share the message. Get the evangelists ready. Get the pastors ready. Mobilize all the ministers, all the ordained people, all the people who have studied the Bible. But let me tell you, if you start to study the Bible, you're going to find out that it wasn't really always the ordained people, it wasn't the apostles all the time or the disciples that were running out there and doing the work of sharing the good news, was it? No. Every believer has been given a mission by God to advance his kingdom and bring home his lost children. Every believer. The Apostle Peter tells us that we're all a royal priesthood. That means that we don't go to just the priest and he has some kind of special connection to God instead of us, but Jesus is our high priest and we're connected to Jesus and we're all ministers of the gospel. We all received the commission of Jesus to go into the world and make disciples, teaching them and baptizing them in the power of God, who has all authority in heaven and earth given to him. See, God has given you the responsibility to share his message. That's a scary thought, I know. He's given you the authority to share his message. Earlier this year, we talked from the book of Acts. And the year before, we talked a little bit from the book of Acts too. And we pointed out that as God's people, as in those who follow Jesus, as they would get pushed out of their homes and spread throughout the world, people were chasing them, trying to kill them and put them in prison. You know what they did? They told people about Jesus everywhere they went. This isn't just a few select people like, oh, yes, this is the godly person. You know, this is the Paul. Paul did it. Nobody else. No, no. The early church believed that while there were people in charge of equipping and training and teaching them, that every one of them was a minister. Every one of them was tasked to preach. And so we need to grab a hold of the words of one evangelist who said, go on a mission trip. Walk next door. So you may think, yeah, I need to go on missions in order to be a minister of the gospel. So I need to raise $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 so that I can go on a short-term missions trip and then God can use me. But God wants to use you right next door. He has great things in store for you. He wants to use you. And so no matter your gifts, no matter your location, no matter your vocation, that is, no matter what job you have, as a follower of Jesus, as a part of Christ's church. Remember what we said the last couple of weeks here. We are the church. Not this building, but we, those who follow Jesus gathered together, we are the church. And we have a purpose and a mission to advance God's kingdom and bring home his lost children. And I get it. You inside of yourself, you may be trembling right now. You may be thinking, you don't understand. I don't have the gifts. You don't understand. I'm not a good speaker. You know who you sound like is Moses. God, don't send me to the Egyptians. I'm not good at speaking. I have a stammer, God. I can't do it, God. And God said, yes, you can. Just get your butt over there and do it. Because when we follow Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit within us, and no matter your gifting, no matter the amount of time that you have, you can just follow him and rely on the Spirit of God to help you. See, we will share the good news with others when we have a missional mindset, not a selfish one. Missional mindset means that we recognize the mission that God has given us, and we charge forward into it. That's what we're focused on, the mission of Jesus, rather than our own selfishness. You know that selfishness, what are they going to say about me? Did you know that that's selfishness? If it keeps you from sharing the message? You don't understand? I'm busy. You know that selfishness when it keeps you off mission? Hey, I struggle with this stuff too. I get home and I'm like, I just want to relax. I just want to shut down, but that's not what we're called to do. Do you care about the current and eternal spiritual well-being of those around you? There's a question that you can ask yourself, right? We are the church. We're part of a greater whole. We all have a role, a part to play in the kingdom of God. And so we must take our eyes off of ourselves and our temporal comfort and trust that the God who never gave up on us, the God who never gave up on you when you were an enemy, the God who sacrificed it all for you, is not going to go, well, now that you've accepted my gift and you're going out and doing what I asked you to do, I'm just going to be like, yeah, you're on your own. If he didn't give up on us in our sin, he's not going to give up on us as we serve him. And so today, ask yourself, how will God's lost children, your family, neighbors, friends, coworkers, believe and be saved if you never share your faith with them? I don't necessarily mean that you pull out a Romans Road track and hand it to them and go, you need to read this because Jesus loves you, but otherwise you're going to hell. Not many people come to Jesus that way anymore. But what I am saying is that we need to develop opportunities in our lives, not just for people to call on Jesus or for people to believe the gospel or for people to somehow hear, but for them to be told. That means having relationships with people in the circles that God has placed us in and placed around us who maybe don't believe the same thing that we do. And not slamming them with things, but just being honest. Hey, you're going through that situation. Do you mind if I share how when I went through that situation, God helped me? Because my faith in Jesus, he gave me hope. He gave me peace. Whatever it is, just share what Jesus is doing in your life. Share the excitement that you have in him. See, friends, we have a vision here that God has given our leadership and that I hope is catching with your hearts. We want to see 600 people touched with the love of Jesus and 20 new, vibrant, fruitful disciples of Jesus by the end of the year 2020. And let me tell you, especially when we have a low attendance Sunday like today, you look around the room and you go, you want to do what by 2020? But remember, it's not just me that's the mouthpiece here. All of us have giftings that God has given us that can help us to share the good news of Jesus, both by working within the church, but also working outside the church. And so grab some invitation cards and write the date for next week on it and invite your friends to come and get some pancakes and stay for service. Tell them, hey, we've got a message coming up called Chase the Lion. Don't you want to know what the lion that we're chasing, don't you want to know what this is? It sounds awesome, doesn't it? So come with me. Or if you've got a friend who maybe has some questions about what church is, the Monday after our kickoff Sunday, we're starting Alpha. So invite them out to Alpha so that they can really connect into that. And I invite you all to come to Alpha as well so that you can begin to discuss elements of faith that maybe you just haven't actually thought about before. Why we do what we do. But I want to end things a little differently today. Normally we would kind of pray and then we'd sing some songs together and then we'd walk out of this place and we'd call it good, but can I call our church leadership? Paul asks how anyone can go and tell if they've not been sent. And I think sometimes we're able to push off this idea that we are the someone that must go and share the message because we haven't been sent. And so today, what I want to see is that all around this place, if your heart has been moved to see your loved ones come to Jesus, to be saved from eternal darkness and death, to be adopted into the family of God, we'd like to pray for you as a group. And so we're going to stand here. If you can just begin to make your way up here, every person that just is like, yes, you know what, I need to have a missional mindset. This message is connecting with me. I'm part of the church, and I want to see my neighbors come to Jesus. I want to see my family come to Jesus. I want to see my coworkers and my friends come to Jesus. Well, you just begin to make your way up to the front here, and we're going to pray for you and commission you to send you out. Not just out into the world at large, out to Africa. We're not saying all of you are now going to leave your homes and go somewhere distant, but we're sending you to the people that God has placed right around you. Because God has placed you where you are in this season for a reason. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for those with a heart to serve you, a heart to share the good news of Jesus. It's not too late if you guys want to come forward and just receive prayer and be sent out right now. But Lord God, we just come right on and come right on over. As you stand here, just begin to lay hands on each other's shoulders. And oh Lord God, I just ask that this church will be a church that isn't silent, but that it'll be a church that goes out and begins to speak truth in your name, Lord Jesus. Lord, that each one of these people that has been moved, that has been impacted by your love, by your mercy, by your grace, Lord God, that you will fill them with your Holy Spirit and with a desire to go out to those that you've placed around them. Lord, I know that we all have busy lives. I know that we all struggle with things, that we all have these fears and anxieties that we worry about, Lord God, that some of us are introverts and other people are extroverts. And Lord, I just thank you for the variety that the body has. As we talked about before, Lord God, a body has feet and hands and toes and ears and eyes and all of that. And all of us are gifted in different ways to share the good news of Jesus, to be people that go out into the community and see people hear the gospel and the power of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit doing the work in their hearts to bring them to belief and to bring them to the place where they call on you and are saved. And so Lord, help us not to stand by passively and read the Bible and go, wow, this world needs Jesus, but to go, wow, it's my responsibility as a part of the church to begin to do the work of God out in the community and help advance the kingdom and help bring his lost children home. And so, Lord, give us courage, give us boldness, give us just a passion for the people that you love, for your children, Lord. Help us, our hearts to break as we look at people, that we won't be so busy judging them because they drop the F word in every sentence, Lord God, but that instead we'll be sitting there going, Lord Jesus, you love them so much. You love them. How can I help them? How can I share with them the message so that they have the opportunity to respond? And so, Lord, work in all of our hearts and give us boldness, I pray, in Jesus' name.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about.
I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you. But the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes through a true relationship with their Creator. So God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship with Jesus. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.